Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a blessed Wednesday today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. You know, we're going to have to talk about Israel again. And I'm going to tell you guys, I don't like doing this. I don't like having to pick one country out and just nailing them like this, because it's so frustrating to me to do this all the time for the same group of people that are controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel, which were initially brought together through the Balfour Declaration and through the Versailles Treaty, and this mess that we're having to deal with this constant bombing of other countries. And it just, it's unbelievable, Austin. I mean, last night I saw an alert come across my phone that we were basically just absolutely hammering them last night. You know, Israel was hammering Syria last night, the Iranian places in Syria. And apparently this whole thing was coordinated yesterday to coincide with Trump's getting rid of the Iranian nuclear deal. I mean, it's just so frustrating to me that this is going on and on and on and on from this one country. And it aggravates me that we're having to deal with this topic over and over and over again. As Chuck Baldwin says, they're doing their best to bring about Armageddon, to bring in a World War III, to reduce the population of the planet, to bring in their serpent god as far as ruling the planet. And Christians are sitting back on their hands going, oh, wow, that's going to be absolutely great. They get a pass because we get to go to heaven in the rapture. All hell will break loose on the planet. We're going to have 7 years of unbelievably unprecedented tribulation, and all these people are going to be unbelievably in a situation where they're dying and being killed, and billions of people will die. But it's okay. We're going to be in heaven. Guys, you know, this whole concept is just whacked out to me, this dispensationalism stuff. Israel just, you know, dropped a hammer on Syria. They haven't had a chance to install those latest Russian military, you know, systems in as far as anti-missile systems. And then last night, you know, basically Russia finally launched their jets back up to go against the Israeli fighters. And, of course, the Israeli Air Force immediately landed. And now we found out that Putin and Netanyahu had not had a meeting today. And Netanyahu has asked Putin to stand down and allow Israel to do a full-blown attack into Syria, basically, and take out the Iranian people that are in Syria and probably want to precipitate World War III. And Putin has declined and said he will not do that. He will not stand down. So it's very frustrating to me, guys, that this is happening over and over and over again. In fact, let me give you the article. It says Netanyahu meets Putin in Moscow, asks Russia to stand down for Israel, all-out attack on Iranian assets in Syria. The meeting has failed. Repeat, the meeting has failed. I mean, they want to go in and pretty much wipe out areas of Syria, and Russia is saying no. The stakes are very high right now. Decisions made today will probably affect the entire world within hours. I mean, quite frankly, cooler heads need to prepare, be in charge right now. Right now, the latest update around 1 o'clock this afternoon was Israel has begun mobilizing heavy armor in the Golan Heights. And these are not the type of things that one sees to defend against missile attacks from Iranian missiles in Syria. They're the types of things that you see prior to a major invasion. Guys, let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, what a mess. This is a mess. Lord, please expose to Christians in the United States and to all the Zionists that this isn't okay, that none of this is cool, that we all need to learn to live in peace, walk in love as Christ taught us to do. Lord, let the cooler heads prevail in all of this, and let Trump realize what he's got himself involved in with doing all of this stuff, Lord, and have him just back down a little bit and just not be involved with all these foreign wars and foreign entanglements. Father, we ask you for some mercy and for some grace here for the United States and for all of the people there in Syria who got bombed again last night, again, and just be with the people who had the children and their families killed again. And Lord, just let the cooler heads prevail. Let the people realize this is not going to be something we need to be doing, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had to do that, Austin. I had to open with a prayer because I'm so frustrated with having to deal with this constant rhetoric coming out of the Middle East and this precipitation of World War III. It's very, very frustrating to me. What do you think, son?
It is. It's very obnoxious to watch this continue to go on, especially from a country that always likes to bomb anybody that it essentially says could deem a threat in the future. And they set this up perfect because Trump essentially had to kill this Iranian deal. There was really no other option. I mean, the whole Iranian deal, you guys already know my stance. Anytime that we're giving any country money whatsoever, I'm not cool with it. Nobody deserves free money. There is no free lunch. You work, you eat. That's how it goes with me. And the whole Iranian deal with Obama was a complete and total debacle, especially giving them, you know, over, what, $1.5 billion. The issue is, yeah, straight cash. I mean, the whole aspect of the sanctions on Iran and everything we're doing with them, I'm not a fan of sanctions either. The issue is Iran and Israel got to work out their own problems. The reason why Iran hates Israel so much is because Israel continues to bomb them. And it may be because, you know, the Saudis and the Sunnis and the Muslims hate the Jews. Whatever, man. They got their own problem to deal with. And guess what? It's not our problem. Because last time I checked, I don't live in the Middle East. I don't live in Israel. I don't live in Iran. I don't live in Syria either. I live in the United States. And last time I checked, that's where my tax dollars were supposed to go and support was the infrastructure of this great country that we currently live in. That's my stance on it. So these guys constantly threatening to bomb one another, and Iran saying we're going to bomb Israel, and then Israel bombs Iran in another country that they're in. That's the whole crazy part about it is to me, is they said, you know, last night they said, oh, once the deal went through, Iran started repositioning assets in Syria. So we decided to do a preemptive strike on Syria with Iranian assets so we could basically prevent them from bombing us. Guys, this whole thing is just completely and totally nuts, honestly. When you start looking at it on what's really going on, the Iranian deal should have never happened, period, with Obama. I mean, that was Obama's big pile of feces that he left in the White House for Trump to clean up, and there was no good way to get it done. It just had to go away. And they knew that. And so they knew as soon as he did it that it was going to hack off Iran. So Israel was already going to plan a strike on Iran regardless, because, guys, remember, just a week and a half ago, Israel struck Syria again on all the Iranian targets that were in there multiple times. We struck Syria again 4 weeks ago because Assad supposedly used chemicals that never existed and never got deployed. This is what they're continuing to do. They want to throw the regime over in Syria, get Assad out of place so they have another external country to use as a forward operating base so they can do further strikes into Iran if they need to do so. That's what this whole thing is about. They want to completely control and dominate Syria. That's why they've been trying to get Assad out of power for the better half of a decade now. And so Israel doesn't like the fact that Iran and Syria are allies and they have the ability to work together, and Syria pretty much lets Iran do whatever they want and come hang out and reposition their military and whatever they want to do. Israel can't stand that. Israel can't stand anybody that doesn't do exactly what they say, whenever they say it, how they tell them to do it. That's just simple fact, guys. So you got to look at what's going on here. Why are we getting involved in the foreign entanglements of another country? I am so glad that Putin did not capitulate to Netanyahu when Netanyahu flew over to Russia today to basically try to tell Putin that he needs to stand down. Because I think he was pretty certain after what he saw this morning that if those Israeli jets would have still been continuing to operate in Syrian airspace, Russia was about to light them up. There was no doubt about that. That's why Israel went right back home, right back on the tarmac. We're done. We didn't do anything here. What are you talking about, Russia? We didn't have anything to do here. Russia was about to light those boys up. They are not going to continue to allow this to happen. But his dad said, this is something they're continuing to escalate on purpose to bring in this Armageddon that they so crave for some odd reason. I don't understand why. I guess they think that basically they're so... their arrogance, that they're so better than everybody because they're essentially still considered God's chosen people from the Old Testament, that they really think they can literally do anything they want, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it, and they can basically get away with it. And so I've pretty much had enough of it, guys. After I saw that last night, it's getting out of hand, and they use the Iranian deal as a precipitating factor to do another strike on them. But the truth about it is that Iranian deal deal had to be over and needed to be done. So it's not going to stop that. And that's why I told you guys with the last one, we sent in, 102 Tomahawk missiles a month ago over the chemical attack. This isn't going to stop. They're going to do everything they can to poke Russia, poke China, poke Iran, poke everybody they can until somebody does something to them. And then they say, oh, we've had a strike on Israel. We have to basically start nuking these countries now. We can't allow this to happen. We got to send nuke everybody. It doesn't matter how many places we bombed, how many countries we attacked, how many airstrikes we let loose on other foreign countries that were sovereign countries that did not attack us or provoke us at all. It doesn't matter at that. As soon as one single thing happens to Israel, they're pulling the nuke card, or they're going to do a full-blown ground invasion with the U.S. military at that disposal, because we know the U.S. military is essentially operated and controlled by the Jews in Israel. That's just a simple fact. You can go do your research on that. As sad as it is, and I hate to admit that because I love our U.S. military, they use us with the Rothschild, with the banking cartels, essentially our military assassins throughout the world with our large U.S. military, and it's kind of embarrassing that we're used of that sort now, but it really is getting out of hand, Dad.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You know, the Semites are a group of people in the Middle East. I mean, it includes the Muslims, the Jews, the ones from Abrahamic blood. And people say, well, you know, people are anti-Semite if they speak badly about Israel. No, well, no. An anti-Semite would be somebody who's bad, who's bashing every Middle Easterner, including the Muslims and everybody over there. And so you basically don't like the Semite race, the Semite people. What's interesting is, you know, I'm not an anti-Semite, but I am an anti-Zionist. I am that. I don't believe in that. I'm not a Zionist. I'm not a dispensationalist. I'm none of that stuff. I think all that stuff is nonsense. You know, like I said, I was raised in a Lutheran church, and we weren't taught that silly stuff. I mean, who in the world wants to start World War III and cause Armageddon and cause the whole tribulation to begin because they want to go to heaven right now and leave everybody here in the hands of Lucifer? I mean, that makes any sense to me. I mean, you put it that direct, that blunt, that's what they believe. And it's crazy that they get a pass and a pass and a pass and a pass and a pass. But I'm anti-Zionist. I'm anti-Zionist because, you know, we talked about it earlier. We have, you know, AIPAC has tens of thousands of people that are either employees or volunteers, tens of thousands in the United States, along with multi-billion dollar budgets that go into directly influence Congress. I mean, the biggest lobbying group we have right now in the United States is the NRA. The second biggest lobbying group we have is the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. I mean, they should be like a foreign... You know, like they're like a foreign entity operating on U.S. soil. They shouldn't even be legal. You can't have that kind of influence in Congress, especially with all the congressional leaders having all their dual citizenships with Israel. I mean, with so many of them. I mean, this whole thing is twisted up. And again, I'm going to give you some background on this. When all of this started with the Balfour Declaration, the newspapers and all of these folks that was controlled in the United States was all pro-Germany before the Balfour Declaration, as far as keeping the United States out of World War I. When the Balfour Declaration took place, and that was going to get the United States into World War I, with the understanding that if that happened, that Israel would have its own homeland again, then what ended up happening, the newspapers started hammering Germans and saying bad things about Germans. Remember, the largest ethnic group in the United States during World War I were Germans, period. The United States has so decimated its own population during the Civil War that when people started pouring in after the Civil War, the largest ethnic group of Americans was Germans, period. Now, you can go look it up. That's just the way it was. Not anymore. Now it's Hispanic. But what ended up happening is, and that's why if you look at the newspaper, look at the yellow, look at the phone books if you have any of those things laying around. Brown, B-R-O-W-N, you'll see page after page of Browns. That's a German name. Miller, page after page after Pillar. That's Miller's a German name. How about Smith? Schmidt, page after page after page of Smiths. So you got three of the largest groups, Brown, Miller's, and Smiths, in the yellow phone, in the white pages of the phone book, that are all German descendants. That's what this country was founded and basically built on with the Industrial Revolution and the Protestant, basically, work ethic that came in after the Civil War when our country was in ruins. Now, that's the problem that we have as far as getting the United States into World War I. But then Wilson basically was controlled by Colonel House, who was a Rothschild agent. The Rothschilds had already taken over our country with the banking system in 1913 to precipitate us getting into World War I, to control us. And that's what happened, guys. And this is what we are. Israel is a fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire. Because of their interlocking corporate directorships, the Rothschild banking cartel controls all major media in the world, all of it, you know, except for maybe some countries in Russia and China, some other places like that. But in the West, United States, England, Germany, it's all controlled. They control the pharmaceutical petrochemical complex. They control the medical complex. They control all of it. That's why they can pretty much twist and turn any way they want us to the United States. Because we have been taught now since the 1850s, because we got preached that dispensationalism was true by a guy named Darby, who then was picked up by Scofield, who wrote it in the Scofield Bible, which was controlled by the Oxford Press, another Rothschild entity, that basically pushed this on Christianity and on Christians for the past 170 years, this dispensational stuff, and it's not even biblical. But this is what we've been taught to believe now for almost two centuries, and now so many people, particularly Baptists, and I'm a Baptist, I go to a Baptist church, this is what they believe. And so the Rothschilds control the press. They've used the Holocaust over in Germany and the basically slave labor camps over in Germany as a basically benchmark to force their agenda into all these countries, saying that if you don't believe in the Holocaust, there's something wrong with you, and it doesn't make any difference how many people you believe died in the Holocaust. If you start asking questions, you're an anti-Semite. And they use that like to beat people with us, to control countries with this rhetoric. Let me give you an example. In Germany right now, this happened this week, an 89-year-old grandmother was arrested after failing to show up to start a two-year prison sentence. Listen to this, guys. This is going to blow your mind. This is the power of these guys. Ursula Haverbeck, 89 years old, was arrested for failing to show up for the beginning of her two-year prison term for denying the Holocaust. Okay? Now, she didn't deny the Holocaust. She questioned how many people died. Listen to what happened. The media has branded her the Nazi grandma. That's what happened in Germany because the media is controlled by the Rothschilds. But there's nothing in the story that supports the idea that she was an admirer of the Nazi regime or its collectivist ideology. Her crime appears to be only that after 10 years of asking the authorities in Germany for proof that there were actually 6 million executions in Nazi prison camps and never receiving any response to her request, she concluded that the Holocaust story was a politically motivated Zionist myth. She does not deny the Jews and the Poles and the Gypsies and the Catholics and the Christians were prisoners in forced labor camps, or that their labor was needed in the Nazi factories to produce weapons, or that many of them perished from beatings and malnutrition. Her position appears to be that the authorities have failed to produce any hard evidence that 6 million prisoners were executed, especially when they were needed alive for slave labor in Hitler's war factories, with 4.5 million Jews still alive at the end of World War II. For holding this opinion, she has been imprisoned. Think this for a second. She's been imprisoned because she doesn't believe the narrative. In a free society, even if Haverbeck were a believer in Nazism or collectivist ideology, or for that matter, in the communist collectivist ideology, should that be the basis that she goes to prison at the age of 89 years old for years because she disagrees with the mainstream narrative? This is the crap they pull in Germany all the time. No one can question the Holocaust. No one can use the word fatherland. No one can use the word Nazi. No one can use the word Third Reich. No one can use the words that equate back to the Nazi regime. Nobody. If you use those words, if you use certain symbology, you are charged with a felony and you are put into prison. I saw this firsthand when I had friends of mine come over to my house one day, and they talked to me, and I started asking them questions about World War II, and they said, "This is forbidden." And I said, "That's forbidden." I said, "What do you mean forbidden? What's forbidden? We can't use these words." And they were literally shaking because they were so scared that they didn't know what to do, because they were in a situation where they were afraid that they were going to be arrested. Now, guys, think about this for a second. I'm in a situation where I'm in my home with these guys in Florida. I'm asking them questions about what happened with the Third Reich, and all of a sudden, they're telling me they can't even use the words that they're forbidden. We have forbidden words in Germany. We can't use them because you'll be called a Holocaust denier and you will go to prison. And here we have the perfect example, the 89-year-old, who, by the way, failed to show up at prison to start her sentence. Now she's been arrested. What a political nightmare. Just an absolute nightmare this is for Germany if this information gets out to the people, that if you say anything wrong about what's going on from 70, 80 years ago that you don't agree with, that you're going to be put in prison probably for the rest of her life being this old. So sad to me, Austin. What do you think?
That's horrible, man. And I mean, not only is it just from a humanitarian standpoint and a human rights standpoint, is it not even make any useful sense to jail somebody that's almost 90 years old. I mean, that boggles my mind. I mean, you know, if there was something, you know, some murder trial, okay, whatever at that age. But, I mean, we're talking about somebody basically questioning the mainstream narrative that we've been lied to about, like you said, from 60, 70, 80 years ago now. This is insane to me that this is what it's stooped down to now over in Europe. But, see, this is what happens. And, guys, this is, I say this all the time, so I'm not beating a dead horse, but this is a very specific example. This is what happens when you allow yourself to be fully disarmed. When you no longer have the means to defend yourself against a tyrannical government or an invading force of any kind, you are at the mercy of whatever they tell you to do, what they tell you to think, what they tell you to say, what they tell you that you can act like. This is where it's starting to go. And we've seen it for years now in Europe because, unfortunately, Europe does not have the same Bill of Rights that we have. They do not have the ability to fall back on certain laws and rights that they can stand firm on that protects them from a tyrannical government. And this is exactly why they have used Europe as a template to see how far they can get away with a lot of this stuff. As you see in the UK, it's happening everywhere. The UK, you can't say anything. They're coming out now with an Islamic group that basically is deeming what you can and can't say and what's deemed Islamophobic and what is going to put you in jail as basically hate speech. Now in the UK. So if you say something about Muslim immigrants, if you say something about them that they're doing, if you bring anything up that they deem to be Islamophobic, they're going to have you jailed. This is going everywhere, and this is the whole basis of basically muting political dissidents. This is where they're trying to do in the United States now. This is exactly why for the last 5 to 6 years we've seen this rapid acceleration of pushing the liberal leftist agenda from the feminist movement to the transgender movement to the leftist ideology of basically you can't say anything against anybody or you're a Nazi, but the leftists can spew out the most hateful rhetoric they can physically come up with and it's okay because they're talking about it. Anything from the right, though, shut up. Don't say a word. If you say a word, we're going to put Antifa on you, our paid mercenary protesters, to come out and beat you up with baseball bats and 2x4s that have nails driven through them. That is where it's starting to go, guys. And this is why I continue to tell everybody, we cannot continue to sit back and allow our Second Amendments to be eroded. This is why yesterday I was so disappointed when I saw that Oliver was put in place of the president of the NRA with the giant debacle he was involved in the 80s. They're doing everything from the inside. See, the issue that I've seen with these globalists and these just the Rothschilds, all of them, they're soft. They're a bunch of pansies, and that's me to put it softly. They will not engage you with a full-on frontal attack. They will not take you in close-quarter combat. They use everybody else to do their bidding and to do their fighting for them.
Right.
Covertly, in most cases, very covertly, they do it under the table, behind the curtain, under the sheets, around the window. They do not do it blatantly in your face because they do not want to have their faces seen as who they really are and what
That's
they're
right.
involved in. They're stinking cockroaches, and they run around in the dark doing their demonic activity so that nobody knows what they're involved in, and this is how it works. This is why they have tried to foment this black versus white hatred in the United States, even though pretty much up until the early 2000s, racial tensions had long passed in the United States with black versus white. It really had calmed down a lot. But no, as soon as we got Obama in there, he made sure he exaggerated all of that stuff. And now it seems to be you can't even make a comment anymore without getting called a racist. I was talking to my brother about that the other day. He sent me basically an article. It was out towards California, and it was basically somebody questioning a lot of stuff that was going on with the presidency, with Obama, with Hillary, all this stuff. And the first response is, you're a racist. You hate Obama. That's why you're doing this. No, I'm really not. I'm trying to figure out what happened in Benghazi. I'm trying to figure out why under Obama's watch, why we ran over 2,000 machine guns and 50 caliber rifles to the Mexican drug cartel and lost them, and it seems to be intentionally. I'm trying to figure out a lot of the stuff that nobody wants to answer. You can't ask those questions. You're a racist. You can't say that stuff. Okay. The exact same thing that's happening in Germany and the UK right now is beginning to start in the United States on a softer level. This is why it's so important, guys, that we do not, under any circumstances, submit to political correctness. And again, I've said this before, you don't have to be absolutely rude and antagonizing and have a filthy mouth, but you do need to stand up for the rights that you believe in on your side and continue to be vocal about them, and do not capitulate and go silently into the night just because the other side wants to scream and yell and call you derogatory names as soon as you bring up an argument that they don't have a rebuttal for, which is what they like to do, if you guys notice. We have to stand firm and we have to prove our point, and we cannot submit to political correctness under any circumstances at all, because political correctness is the first form of censorship. That is what's happening right now. It's the first branch of going in and dissolving the First Amendment right. That is what they have done with political correctness now, and we have to be so careful not to allow this to happen in this country, Dad.
You know, Austin, that's an incredible oratory. I loved what you just said. And also, I want to add a few things to that. Back in the 80s, I first started, you know, we started Health Masters back in 1981, so we've been in business now for, 37 years. And, you know, a long time, almost half a century. And what was interesting about it, you know, initially we worked a lot with churches and groups of Christians. And we came under such persecution that I remember being publicly just chastised for saying that we should be basically following the Old Testament dietary guidelines. I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, verbally dressed down, chastised from the pulpit. And I mean, just this kind of stuff happened to me repeatedly, and I had enough of it. I finally went to the Christian market, left the Christian market, went into the secular market, and started doing these huge seminars around the country. And I began to realize that whenever you stand up for the truth, there are always people out there that, due to normalcy bias or due to ignorance or due to basically the need of full paradigm shift, they don't want to listen. They want because they believe that everything's going to be the same because it's always been that way. The problem is they're being controlled and directed by the international banking cartel through these international conglomerate of corporations to think what these people want them to think. You know, it's okay to teach transgenderism to little children because they don't know any better. They need to know that they can be a boy or a girl. It's okay to, you know, spend 40 hours a week watching pornography. It's okay. It's good for you. No, it's not. We know it's not. It's okay to go ahead and teach sex ed to first graders. That's okay. And teach them how to have sex and have, you know, pregnancy rates go through the roof with just doggone elementary school kids. It's okay to teach all of this stuff because this is what we're supposed to do. No, it's not. That's the problem. When we don't stand up, then we get people like Roe v. Wade. All of a sudden, they go ahead and push it through the government. We have abortion now. We've killed millions of children. You push it through again. You get prayer out of school, get the Bibles out of the school. All of this stuff was done by the Sabbatean Kabbalists. All of this was done by the Luciferians. All of this was done by the Khazarians. Pick a name. All of this stuff was done by these druidic worshipers, these wizards and these cockroaches, this synagogue of Satan. All of it has been basically, if you dig the ditch down deep enough, you're going to find these people at the bottom of the ditch. Now, that hacks me off. And you say, well, Ted, you're getting all mad about that. Yeah, matter of fact, I am pretty hacked off about it, you know. I'm still hacked off. I got my show yanked off the air on Monday. I'm hacked off about all this stuff this week because I don't like this stuff. Because we have a right, a God-given right, to express our views without the king saying, hang you from the bridge. You don't believe that 6 million people died in the Holocaust? Go to prison for 2 years, you're 89 years old, you stinking Nazi grandmother. What the heck is that? What the heck is that? They should say, well, she doesn't believe it. Okay, that's her right. It's her opinion. It's her opinion what she believes and what she'd have to believe. I mean, this is like trying to legislate morality. It doesn't make any difference. You can't force people to do certain things. I guess you can in Germany. And what's so funny, the Nazi Germany little thing that's going on with this woman, the guys that are acting like the Nazis are the government in Germany. She's the one who's expressing dissent, and she's being locked up in a concentration camp or a prison or a work center or whatever they're going to put her into. They're acting like the very thing they're condemning her for, Austin. Now, let's start on Oliver North for a second. I didn't really get into this little thing yesterday with Ollie because we ran out of time. But here's the thing. Here's the problem I have. There's multiple problems I have, and we talked about some of those yesterday, about him being the new president of the NRA. Remember, I used to be a supporter of Oliver North, okay? But until after 9/11, at which time I became aware that North was a significant part of the military-industrial complex and worked with the CIA covertly, we mentioned that yesterday, to import weapons into Iran in part of a scheme to illegally fund the CIA-created rebel force in Nicaragua. That force was called the Contras, and we talked about this yesterday, and it was used to overthrow the Nicaraguan government. North did this. Oliver North also played a major role in running drugs, we talked about this yesterday, from Central and South America drug cartels into the U.S. as an additional means of funding operation. He was also a key figure in creating a plan to build a computer database of everyone who objected to this scheme with the intended purpose of using it to arrest and imprison them in the event of a threat to national security, all in the name of patriotism. Oliver North is a piece of crap as far as I'm concerned. He should never, ever have been put as the head of the National Rifle Association, which is already dealing with all kinds of internal problems itself and capitulating and all kinds of other crazy stuff. I mean, this is a major, major blow to the Republic, because remember, the NRA was, may not be anymore after North gets a hold of it, the number one lobbying effort in the United States, followed by AIPAC. So, again, I want to emphasize a few more things about Oliver North and why he should never have been put at the head of the NRA. Guys, this is a major, major coup that these Sabbateans have done now, coming into the back door, like Austin says, like a bunch of cockroaches in the middle of the night, always doing things in the shadows, never getting up on the rooftop. God said, let your yea be nay and your nay be nay. That's what the word says. Don't be getting in there and getting underneath people's blankets and sneaking around in the middle of the night and putting frogs and scorpions and snakes under the blanket and thinking how cute and funny it is. This is a bunch of garbage. And that's what these people do. They sneak around and do all this covert crap and pretend like, oh, don't look here. Nothing happened here, man. We didn't attack the USS Cole. Nothing happened here. No. It's like with McCain. When the Cole got attacked, back in, you know, in 67, what happened? Or the Liberty, I think it was the Liberty. When he got attacked, who covered it up? John McCain's daddy, the doggone admiral. He covered it all up. This has been a major problem with this family, this group of people, this John McCain mess. Now, John McCain needs to think about something for a second, because I'm on a little tear about John McCain. He is so concerned about whether or not Donald Trump is coming to his funeral. I got news for you, John McCain. I got news for you. Senator, concern yourself not whether Donald Trump attends your funeral. Concern yourself with eternity in either the kingdom of God or hell. You're fixing to check off the planet, you blithering idiot, and you're worried he's going to show up at your funeral? What, are you trying to control the planet after you're dead, you stinking weirdo? I've had enough of these people, Austin, and these are the guys that have been in charge of Washington, D.C. since they killed John F. Kennedy, and I've had enough of it, and I wish Trump would go ahead and release all that information on the Kennedy assassination, but he's covered up for George Bush Sr. because he was involved in it, and he doesn't want their name being out and him being soiled, and chances are we'll never see all the Kennedy papers. And there, that's me ranting for the day. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, no, that's definitely what's going on. I mean, there's definitely no question about it. Also, too, I just got an update on the one site that I've been looking at with some of the stuff. It looks like Israeli fighter jets just launched more missiles into Syria. Syria air defense basically just lit up, tracking inbound missiles, and now basically a few minutes ago, Russian Air Force basically just sent their fighter jets back up in the air again and basically told Israelis via air-to-air radio to halt their attacks against Syria immediately. So these guys, as I said a minute ago, and that's where we started off the show, these guys are bent on starting a war, and they know there's a way to get it rolling, and Russia has been so chill about this entire situation, much chiller than I can honestly say I would have been if I was running a country with the level of military force that Russia had. I would have already had enough with these guys. But, you know, they're trying to not get into a giant global conflict with the United States over these idiots over there in Israel. But the problem is, Israel's going to keep poking them, and they're going to keep poking them, and they're going to keep poking them. And as soon as one of those Israeli jets launches an air-to-air missile and hits a Russian jet, or they start dogfighting in the air, it's going live. It's going live real quick, and nobody's going to be able to stop that cascading series of events. So I thought it was interesting that basically that meeting did nothing today, and that Israel turned around before Netanyahu even got back home and already started to do airstrikes again in Syria. What a mess with these yahoos over there, Dan.
Absolutely crazy. And, you know, and the thing about it is, it's all about attacking Christianity. We saw that with that thing at the Met the other day, and how people are so angry. The Catholics are so incredibly angry that this has happened, and they're being basically, they're saying, you know, everything was about spoofing the Catholic Church and doing all the stuff that they were doing. Guys, this is stuff that they do all the time. The difference is, now they're getting their butt caught doing it. Now they're making national news. Why? Because faith-based films and a lot of other things are starting to get a real traction around the world, and Christians are saying, we've had enough of this, we're tired of being basically the scapegoat, and everybody gets to kick Christians all the time. I mean, this is some sick stuff that these guys are involved in. The sad part about it is, it's all going directly against Christianity. Another example, rapper shoots a Christian choir in a charged music video saying, this is America. Rapper Danny Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, made a music video called This Is America that features him shooting a choir with an automatic some kind of bizarre they will feel as normal as they sure took me off the internet, didn't they? It took me all day.
Yeah, I don't know where you went, man. You're gone again.
Oh, great. I'm here. Can you hear me yet?
I can hear you now. Yeah, just basically what we heard on that. I watched part of the music video. Yeah, he basically mows down a church choir in the music video with a fully automatic AK-47, not a bump fire stock, not a semi-automatic civilian rifle, a fully automatic AK-47. I saw that too the other day. I thought that was quite disturbing. And back to what you were saying with the Met Gala, some of the photos of what these girls were wearing. I mean, they're wearing stuff that have wearing crucifixes over their private parts, these big phallic symbol crucifixes. And I mean, obviously you can tell what they're trying to depict with them. It was very, very disgusting to me when I saw a lot of that stuff. And it's like Dad said, they do this garbage all the time, but they actually got really caught out in the spotlight for trying to be so brazen with it now over the weekend that everybody's had enough of this garbage, especially, I mean, the Catholics. I mean, especially a lot of the true Catholics that, you know, aren't involved in a lot of the weird stuff. They saw us. I mean, that was incredibly offensive. That's what I told you guys yesterday. I said, how do you think it would work next year if we had an Islamic Met Gala and we're running around in little skimpy headscarves and all types of weird stuff, and we had a Jew in the next year? How would they handle that? They wouldn't. They'd flip out. They'd probably go and shut it down. They'd probably send in some type of outside military force. Israelis would come in and do some private security contractors to shut it down. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's exactly what they're doing with Christianity, yet everybody thought it was a big joke, big game. Also, too, in other news, with Tesla, the cars. So they got some pretty cool stuff, man, but they keep going, having some really big issues. In Florida now, last night, two Florida teens died when their Tesla burst into flames after it ran into a concrete embankment wall. Apparently, they were basically on the interstate and ended up hitting another car and hit a wall, and basically hit the wall and died. It blew up. The third passenger who was able to get out of the seat, they said his medical condition is unknown. I said it's currently unknown whether the Tesla was operating in autopilot mode. It said separately, however, the car company has experienced several instances of crashed Teslas catching on fire. California Highway Patrol said the batteries may have attributed to the explosion as well in another one, just like in Florida last night. So when you're dealing with these batteries, I mean, you're dealing with a lot of power. You're dealing with a very volatile system as far as with that much electricity surging through these vehicles all the time. And the problem is, it's difficult to R&D and lab test what's going to happen when you have different types of impacts at different speeds, in different areas, at different climates, under different circumstances. You know, you can do all the full frontal crash testing you want with test dummies in a controlled environment, but you start letting a car go 80, 90, 100 miles an hour out on the interstate, been driving like that for the last hour, 2 hours, unbelievably hot, hits an embankment wall at a perfect angle, and all of a sudden you have the vehicle explode into flames. And it's ironic because obviously couldn't have been the fuel system, because all these cars, a lot of the new ones, don't have any gasoline at all. They're fully electric. So they can't blame it and say it ignited on fuel. It's simply the batteries that are catching on fire. So I really hope Tesla gets this stuff under control, because it's kind of sketchy. Obviously, you guys know, I'm not over to the full electric side yet. There's some weird stuff about that. But I found that to be quite sad what happened last night in Florida, Dad, with another wreck last night.
Well, think about it for a second. If you have an accident between two cars, and one car spills fuel, and one car is electric, it starts throwing sparks. You know, gasoline is awful. I mean, think through. So that apparently nobody's thinking through any of this. Let me talk to you a little about the thyroid and the gut and how these glands interact and how they interwork in these different organs. You know, we have to understand something that, you know, many people have symptoms of a thyroid imbalance and the blood back still comes back normal and you kind of wonder what's going on. Well, a lot of times you've got to look at the gut. Many people are aware of the fact now that a good portion of your immune system resides in your gut. In fact, about 70 to 80% of your immune cells are found in your gut immune system. Something people generally do not know, though, is the fact that thyroid health is very closely linked to gut health. The gut immune system controls the production of the active thyroid hormone. Inactive T4 is converted to active T3 in the digestive tract. Most people don't know that. Using an enzyme, intestinal sulfatase. When your gut is full of healthy bacteria and your gut immune system is working properly, intestinal sulfatase can flourish and accomplish the conversion for your thyroid. One of the biggest problems that people have with thyroids and with their overall health is their gut bacteria is bad. There's a lot of times there's a yeast overgrowth. Many times there's parasites. Another one could be stress because of what it does as far as hydrochloric acid production and proper digestion of your food. And a poor diet and food sensitivities can also be contributing factors such as eating a lot of sugar and junk food. So what people need to realize is that a lot of problems begin in the gut. In fact, an old guy, his name was V.E. Irons, Victor Earl Irons. He lived to be in his hundreds. And he wrote some articles, and he said that the disease always begins in the gut first. Now we're starting to find out that there's an interdimensional interface between the bacteria in the gut and what's going on in the rest of the body. And our body not only communicates through nerve signals, it communicates through quantum entanglement and through different wave frequencies inside of the body itself. And when the things start to break down, everything starts to break down immediately. Leaky gut. Okay, it's something that when you start having macromolecular absorption of proteins through the gut wall into the bloodstream. This, again, is a problem connected to low stomach acid, and also this has been connected also to glyphosate because it eats holes, apparently, in the intestinal tract, according to some researchers. The proliferation of unhealthy bacteria causes the intestinal walls to become permeable and porous, along with the glyphosate, and proteins are not supposed to be in the bloodstream are released into the bloodstream. These proteins are supposed to stay confined to the digestive tract, and when they get into the blood, they trigger the body's immune response. The body sees these molecules and knows they don't belong. As your body attempts to eradicate what is seen as an intruder, it's actually attacking itself and going against these proteins and amino acids, and an autoimmune disease like Hashimoto's can develop. Interestingly, the correlation goes in both directions. Because your thyroid regulates your body's metabolism, a sluggish thyroid affects the timely completion of many important bodily functions, including digestion, which links back to not having a healthy gut and healthy bacteria in your gut. Slow and sluggish digestion increases the time that food and related bacteria are in your digestive tract. That's called fecal transit time. This gives bad bacteria additional time to multiply and take over, like the yeast that would be, so many people are infected with yeast. It can also reduce the production of stomach acid, which is also contributes to the problem of increased bad bacteria and from T4, T3 being converted. So guys, it's so important that you maintain a healthy gut probiotic balance. We now have the 350 billion product, which is incredible. That's what I use every single day. This product is like probiotics like times 1,000, right? Because, you know, people say, well, we have a billion in our little capsule. Guys, this has 350 billion, and at the time that we make it, make sure we can handle it with our labels and expiration days, it has 700 billion in it. Now, what we do basically is we have to put down 350 billion because that's what it's going to have at the time of the expiration after a couple of years. But guys, it's so important that you understand that gut health is paramount to health for your entire body, including your thyroid, including your heart, including stress, including reducing the risks of cancer, including getting rid of yeast infections. All of this stuff is directly tied back to your gut metabolism and your microbial wall, so to speak, on the inside of the intestinal tract, and also the conversion of multiple different types of vitamins in your intestinal tract, and to prevent what's called autointoxication, which is when you have a slowed intestinal tract and your body starts getting real sluggish and the food stays in you too long, you may not have a bowel movement for 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week. And what happens is, as the water goes back through the large intestine, it goes through all of this feces, and it gets contaminated and gets into the bloodstream, and you poison yourself systemically through auto-intoxication. You start having sluggish bowels, you start having constipation, you start having bad breath, you start having skin breakouts with your skin because your body's so toxic, it can't handle all the poison that's being pushed into the bloodstream. All of this starts with gut health. That's why I take the probiotics, 350 billion, every single day in my protein shake. Just want you guys to know that today, because that's a really good product, Austin.
No, it's incredible. And the thing that a lot of people have to understand now, too, is one of the key factors that we're seeing that's linking all these different problems that you were just talking about, including autism, including cancer, is glyphosate contaminating everything. Glyphosate is Roundup. And the more and more research, guys, we're continuing to do with all this advanced technology we have now, we're seeing that glyphosate is essentially the culprit, or at least one of the culprits, in a lot of these scenarios. Perfect example now is because the food is almost all being contaminated with it. As you guys know, we've talked about repeatedly that glyphosate has been showing up in foods that you don't even expect, even ones that are considered natural, such as baby foods, breakfast cereals, honey, wine, beer, even table salt. And what's even worse is that more recent studies now are coming out that are showing glyphosate levels in humans are increasing exponentially. Why is this? Experts now are saying that the pre-harvest use of glyphosate accounts for over 50% of the dietary exposure we're starting to get. As you guys know, soybeans are about 95 to 96% sprayed with glyphosate as far as the entire United States. Corn's about the same. Pretty much, if it's GMO corn, if it's not organic certified corn or soybeans, it's been sprayed with glyphosate. So a lot of people go, okay, well, I'm not going to eat any soybeans, I'm not going to eat any corn, I'm good to go there. No, you got to understand, this is not where it's stopping anymore, guys. What's going on now is the pre-harvest use of glyphosate has exploded almost 300% in just the last few years. What that is, pre-harvest use, I want to explain this real quick, because I have a lot of people ask me about this. To facilitate larger and more timely yields now, a lot of farmers have found with non-organic food that glyphosate can be applied to crops 3 to 7 days before harvest. This not only quickens the ripening, but accelerates the death and drying out of crops so they can be harvested earlier. In addition, the process makes the crops more resistant to mold during storage. This practice, known as pre-harvest crop desiccation, is being utilized heavily throughout the Great Plains and the Midwest on a wide variety of crops, including corn, but also peas, rye, lentils, buckwheat, canola, potatoes, beets, soy, and any type of other wheat problems. And yeah, and you know what I said there? Beets. This is why, as a side note on this, this is why we carry only certified organic non-GMO beets that we process for our beet juice powder. I just had a really good customer come in the other day, a local guy, and he gets a supplement or two from us here and there. But he started on the beet juice powder a while back ago because he's had some issues with his liver, some issues with his blood, and just toxicity issues. And he goes, I was eating beets, you know, from the store, he said, but they didn't really seem to be helping a lot. I said, here you go, take 2 scoops of these, call me in a week and let me know what you think. Well, he just came into the office 2 days ago and asked for another can. And I came out of the office and said, what's going on, bud? And he said, dude, I got to get another can of this stuff. He said, I just got my blood work done last week. He goes, I've been on this beet juice powder for about 3 weeks now. And he goes, I got my blood work done end of last week. The doctor just called me, and he said, I don't know what you've been doing, but your blood profile doesn't even look like anything I've ever tested on you before. It is so cleaned out, and all your levels are almost perfect range. And he goes, well, I've been taking organic beet juice powder. And he goes, I don't care what you're doing. Keep doing it. Your blood looks the best I've ever seen it since I've been your doctor in the last decade. That's straight from one of our customers here in Auburndale, just from using the organic beet juice powder. But see, it has to be organic, non-GMO. If you start using GMO beets or even beets that are being used with pre-harvest crop desiccation like this with glyphosate, not only are you taking in beets that are loaded with glyphosate, they're sprayed with all types of other pesticides as well that sink into the soil. So back to what I was saying here, the issue that we're starting to see now, a recent study conducted by the University of San Diego and published in JAMA, researchers tracked people over 50 years old who lived in Southern California. They found that the number of people who tested positive for glyphosate has increased by 500% over the past two decades, while average glyphosate levels in urine have shot up by a stunning 1,208% in the last decade. They originally tested for glyphosate in these individuals back in 1998. Or in the population in 1998, and now retested them 20 years later to see what's going on. The numbers are growing exponentially with the people that have this positive and have it in their bloodstream and in their urine. On top of that, another study published in the American Society of Microbiology linked glyphosate with the growing public health crisis of antibiotic resistance. They found that the herbicide changed the way bacteria responded to antibiotics and the drugs extensively used to treat deadly diseases. So this is something you have to be aware of, guys, and the main thing you have to start doing is you have to start opting for organic food. Now, I don't own stock in organic food. I don't own an organic farm. I don't make any money off this. I'm not benefiting from telling you guys this as far as I'm trying to push a product. I'm simply telling you this because I want to get this research out and let everybody understand that you have to start switching over to organic food, because even the stuff that they're saying now that has the non-GMO label on it, certified non-GMO, they're starting to find out this stuff is still contaminated with glyphosate, guys, because of the pre-harvest use of glyphosate.
Right.
You have to understand that. Just because it says non-GMO doesn't mean anything anymore. As sad as that is for me to say, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Granted, yes, it's not going to be actual GMO product that they're using, and you know it's been sprayed with glyphosate. However, there's like a 90% probability now, if it still says GMO free or non-GMO, it probably still is contaminated with glyphosate, because if it's not certified organic, they could still spray anything they want on it and plant it again later on, and there's no repercussions because it's not certified or tested for organic USDA approval, Dad. So I just wanted to kind of add that in there as you started talking about the probiotics, because the glyphosate, now they've already found, has been systemic and been proven numerous times to completely wipe out the positive bacteria in the gut health, which again, like Dad talked about, ties back in to the connection with the brain and all the other organs in the body. So this is stuff you need to make sure you are not getting exposed to at all.
Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. That was phenomenal. Awesome. Great. Now, let's talk about some cancer-killing foods. What do I mean by that? Foods that actually kill cancer cells that sometimes some people feel that are better than chemotherapy and radiation. There are literally thousands of natural compounds that have been studied with demonstrable and anti-cancer activity. There's actually over 600 of them. But only a small subset of these have been proven to target and kill cancer stem cells, which lie is the root of cancer malignancy. Turmeric, which we have at the office, for example, we have featured a number of times on the show, has a smart kill property of targeting just the heart of cancerous tumors. More recently, ginger has been found in preclinical research to contain a
All right, man. I don't know what's going on, but they definitely are not a whole lot of happy with him right now. We got a lot of stuff going on here, but guys, we appreciate all this stuff that's going on. We want to get this stuff out to you guys as much as possible. We obviously are having a serious connection issue or some type of issue over at Dad's house right now with their internet service. I don't know what it is. We got it all resolved and made sure there was no issues with it earlier this week. Something's still going on. It doesn't seem to be like anybody else is having a problem in that area, so I'm not sure what is going on over there. But also, too, one thing I wanted to add in, since I'll be closing the show pretty much because we can't get him up right now, this is huge because I've been talking about for months now, you know, how we need to make sure that we're supporting these companies that are standing up to to anti-Second Amendment rights and so forth. Well, the Mossberg Corporation, the ones that makes rifles, primarily very popular shotguns that I own and love, 500, 590s, incredible shotguns. Actually, the first shotgun I ever bought was a Mossberg 500. And they now have issued a statement an hour ago. They said, it has come to our attention that Dick's Sporting Goods has recently hired lobbyists on Capitol Hill to promote additional gun control. Make no mistake about it, friends. Mossberg is a staunch supporter of the U.S. Constitution and our Second Amendment rights, and we fully disagree with Dick's Sporting Goods' recent anti-Second Amendment actions. Effective immediately, Mossberg will not accept any future orders nor fill any future orders from Dick's Sporting Goods or Field & Stream, and is in the process of evaluating all current contractual agreements. Please read our official statement later on. So this is something they released today. I saw this on Instagram on the Health Masters page, and they sent this out basically saying they're done. They're no longer even going to have any type of business relationship with Dick's Sporting Goods because of what they're doing. And I told you guys this, you know, a couple months ago when they pulled that stunt before anything else happened. Dick's Sporting Goods is owned by the globalists. So is Field & Stream. I don't support them. I won't buy anything from them. I won't even go to their store and even grace them with my presence, so to speak. I don't support them at all. And now we find out, as Mossberg just said, that they've now hired lobbyists on Capitol Hill to promote additional gun control. This is egregious to me. As I said yesterday, we do not need any more gun laws. We already have so many gun laws on the books. The only thing that needs to be done are those gun laws need to be executed properly when you have individuals that are multi-time felons and they engage in criminal activity and violent behavior with firearms. These things do not have to be difficult to control. They are not difficult to comprehend. We do not need more gun laws at all on the books. So the fact that Mossberg now has come out and blatantly said this, so proud of them. I already love Mossberg. They came out with their Mossberg Shockwave that intentionally basically loopholed ATF regulations with a short-barreled shotgun and allowed you to basically own a 14-inch barrel 12-gauge completely legal. It's considered and classified a firearm, even on the paperwork. I bought one legally through an FFL dealer, wanted to make sure everything was completely legitimate on it, as I do all my firearms, and it's completely legit. ATF had to sign off on it. It is classified as a firearm, not as a shotgun, not as a pistol, not as a short-barreled shotgun. That is a firearm. I bought one of those just as a point to prove that I want to support Mossberg because I love what they're doing for our Second Amendment rights and finding more and more ways for us to own firearms that ATF and other agencies has tried to deem to be too dangerous for law-abiding citizens to own. So, guys, I appreciate all the support you give us. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your comments. We've been seeing them. We're trying to make sure we respond back to everybody and everything that's going on right now. So be sure, if you need anything, support us. Check out our website at healthmasters.com for all your supplement and health nutrition needs. Also, by the way, the Testo Plus, one product of the week. We're doing a big sale on it, over 15% off. Really helps increase testosterone levels, increases libido. Be sure to check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We pray for you. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.